Hello and welcome to the SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Eric Parizo. It's great to have you with us. Today we're going to count down the top five things you can do right now to lock down your database. We're joined today by Rich Mogul. Rich is founder of research and consulting firm Securosis. He has nearly two decades of information security experience. Thanks for being here, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our Data Protection Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/data protection. I think it's fair to say database security doesn't get nearly as much attention as network or endpoint security does, Rich. So to set the stage before we start the countdown, let's maybe talk a little bit about the importance of database security. I know many DBAs don't believe it's even necessary to implement security patches if a database is not outward-facing. So, Rich, before we get started, briefly make the case for being diligent about database security.
Well, you know, Eric, the biggest reason to be diligent about database security is that's what the bad guys are going after these days. You know, the early days of the Internet, it was mostly just kids kind of running around with graffiti trying to, you know, put their names on your websites. But now, you know, there's real criminal enterprises out there, and we used to joke that that was perhaps a little bit of FUD or fear and uncertainty and doubt, but these days it's absolutely true that bad guys are targeting our databases because they want our most sensitive information because it has financial value. Now, in terms of making sure you keep those databases secure, you have to treat the inside just like the outside, because all it takes is one bad laptop in your organization and the bad guy might as well be an insider.
All right, then, let's start the countdown. Tip number five for locking down your database right now: perform a user and role audit. Rich, what does that mean, and why is that important?
One of the biggest problems we have is that we kind of lose track of who all of our users really are and what systems that they have access to. So basically, the first thing we need to do is go ahead and figure out, well, who the heck are all of our users? How do those map back to real users or real systems? Because remember, we're not just talking about, you know, physical faces in our environment. We've got all sorts of service accounts and application accounts and all sorts of other things floating around the organization. We don't always know what all of those are and what they do. We just know that over many, many years, we've built up different levels of access. We've given all these people access to different parts of our systems. We don't always have a good understanding of what that is. So the very first thing I think people need to do is run through and do an audit of both who the users are and what the roles within the systems are, and be able to correlate those across. Because one of the biggest problems we have in both our databases and our applications that connect to our databases is what we call privilege creep. This is where a user has a particular role in the organization when they start working there. And as part of that role, they have a number of privileges within databases and applications. Then that user, say, gets a promotion, moves to a different department, moves to a new job. We're not always good about cutting off their old access. And then all of a sudden, what we can do is, over a course of years, as these users keep doing more and more things within the system or their job role keeps changing, we never get rid of any old privileges. And next thing you know, you have a user that has a lot more access than they're supposed to have to the system. So that's absolutely one of the biggest problems that we face, is not knowing who our users are, not knowing what roles they map to, not knowing that perhaps one user has three different roles with conflicting privileges that we don't want them to have.
All right, continuing on. Item number four in our countdown of the top five things you can do right now to lock down your database: cut off ad hoc access. Rich, how big of a problem is this in the average enterprise?
You know, this one really varies. I talk to some businesses that do a great job, some organizations that really lock down their systems, but there's a lot of others that they actually give users privileges to access the database directly when those users never need those privileges. And that's kind of what I'm calling this ad hoc access. So all of a sudden you have users who could directly connect to the database and run direct queries and look around on the inside of the database when maybe they only need to come through your SAP or your Oracle application, as opposed to having direct access to the database. So this can be, you know, end up being a pretty big problem, because if somebody has that direct access, then there's all sorts of things they can do. Anytime there's a database vulnerability with privilege escalation, now maybe you trust the users, but we know the bad guys these days are typically compromising the user's computers, the user's PC or Mac or whatever the heck they're using, and then they use that to go ahead and attack the internal system. So you can't necessarily rely on the users, you know, having full control over the user system and using that to secure your databases. So really, you need to take a look. You need to cut off that ad hoc access. Now, where it can be difficult, a lot of business units have gotten into a bad habit of, like, connecting Microsoft Access or Excel to big databases so that they can run their queries and their dumps and do their analysis as part of their business process. Now, they, of course, need to perform that business process in many cases, but you don't really have to give them direct access to the database, and you should really use a reporting tool or an analytical system that's less sensitive to allow those people to have the direct access to manipulating that data if that's something they need to do.
Following up briefly, Rich, I would imagine there may be a sense of entitlement to database access among many users, especially application developers. How would you recommend security go about approaching those users to get them to accept access changes?
Yeah, you know, this issue of entitlement is a big problem, not just with even like application users, but even, you know, at some points the security needs to take away certain things perhaps from the DBAs on sensitive systems for separation of duties and such. You know, really, I think that the best way to manage this is to do a couple of things. First of all, you can blame compliance for a lot of it. So you can go ahead and say, you know, hey, the auditors have told us we're not allowed to do this anymore. Don't blame us. We're going to be your friend. But the other thing, what I mentioned earlier, is make it as painless as possible. Now, of course, they're going to have to change how they do things. But what you can do is you can build in layers of abstraction. So you take, you know, your transactional system, your OLTP, as we like to call it, and you move it to an OLAP online analytical system, which is basically a data warehouse, so now they can do all their manipulation. And you give them nice reporting tools and interfaces and such, which all of this is off the shelf. It's not like you're custom programming it. It gives you the ability to allow them to still do those things, but gets them out of those main transactional systems. And in the process of pulling that data out, you can do data masking and obfuscation so that they're not working on the sensitive data anymore. So the application guys, you give them a copy of the production database that's been masked with. So you pull the sensitive data out or you scramble the sensitive data, they can still get their jobs done. They still have the tools they need to do it, and you don't have to worry about that sense of entitlement anymore.
Moving on with the countdown of the top five ways to lock down your database right now, item number 3, mask sensitive data. Rich, tell us why this is important and how difficult is it to do?
It's not too bad, Eric. So this is pretty important. We just talked about it a moment ago, which is we have these production systems, and they frequently have our most sensitive information. There's a lot of less sensitive information mixed into those systems. I'll give you an example. If you have a customer database and you have, say, Social Security numbers, which, by the way, you should never have, but let's just say you do in that particular system, and you also have names and addresses and other kinds of things and order histories and such that are less sensitive, but perhaps the customer relations guys need that or somebody else within the organization needs that. So what we can do is we can use data masking to basically take a production system, convert that to a non-production system, and you can either completely scramble the information, which would be what you would do, say, if you were giving a copy of the database to developers. They don't really need to know the credit card and Social Security numbers or even the names and addresses. They just need it to be the right size and have the right structure and format as the production system for them to do their job. So that'd be one example of data masking. The example I gave a little earlier is, let's take something from a transactional system, let's move it into an analytical system. We can use data masking to filter out the bits of the system that are sensitive that we don't necessarily want, you know, anybody who's running through and doing, say, an order analysis to have access to. In terms of how to do this, it's pretty straightforward. There's a lot of tools out there. That's my first recommendation. You know, I hate to tell people to go spend more money, but there are some pretty good tools out there that'll make your life a lot easier when you do this, because they maintain referential integrity. They include databases of names, you know, fake names and fake addresses, so it looks human readable still for your development staff. And if you don't have the budget to do that, you can do it manually, but that's going to be a little bit tougher.
Okay, Rich, we're getting close to the top of the list. Item number 2 on our countdown of the top 5 things you can do to lock down your database right now: perform a database vulnerability scan. Rich, specifically, what should security teams be looking for here?
Yeah, so there's two parts that I always like to lump together into these vulnerability assessments. The first is what I call database discovery, which is where the heck are all the databases in our organization? And especially if you work in a large enterprise, you might think you know where all of those are, but I can guarantee you don't. There's little Access databases, little splinters of Oracle, little splinters of IBM kind of scattered all over the organization in different places that have been built up over time and perhaps have not been properly reported to those of you in central IT, either on the database or the security side. So the first thing is to have this discovery feature, which is basically it's scanning your network for unregistered databases. You may not catch them all, but anything that has a connection that looks like a database, these things are quite likely going to pick up and let you know where they are. Now, the next thing you want to do is an actual full vulnerability assessment on the database. And you don't want to use the same tools you use for your network and your host vulnerability assessments, because there's database-specific tools that are out there that will look not only for things like what are the current patch levels, but will actually, and you can give them, you know, administrative rights or whatever, they can plug into the database and look for common configuration mistakes. They can look for, privilege creep or some of the issues we were talking about before about users having rights to things that perhaps they shouldn't have rights to, other kinds of design and configuration issues that go well beyond just is this thing patched to the right level and vulnerable to an attack in a regular attack database. So I think by having an understanding of where all of your databases are, at least to the best of your ability, and then going ahead and doing an assessment of those, you can find out which ones are secure, which ones are less secure. Now, clearly that's going to feed in after that, and you're going to want to go ahead and secure those systems. For example, you might find that you have an old Oracle 8 system connected to an application, and you can't upgrade that Oracle 8 system, which is now vulnerable to bunches of attacks, because your application vendor won't support it anymore. You at least can go ahead and kind of try and firewall that thing off or put it behind a hardware VPN so nobody else can gain access to it. So in some cases, you can do direct fixes, and in other cases, you can just go ahead and at least know where to wall those things off.
Okay, here we are. We've reached the top of the list. The number one tip for locking down your database right now, implement database activity monitoring. Rich, tell us the value that comes from monitoring all database activity.
This is one of the most important technologies that's come out in the past few years when we look at database security. What it is these are tools that can monitor all activity within a database, everything a regular user does, everything an administrator does, all of your SQL transactions, all of your DML and DDL and those sorts of things that go on within the database. They have the ability to monitor all of those transactions, record that, and better yet, you can build proactive alerts so that if there is specific activity that you want an alert for, you can generate security alerts off of that. Let me give you an example of how to do this. Suppose you aren't storing credit card numbers anywhere except one database, which is locked down, that you know you need to encrypt for your PCI compliance, but say your assessor has given you 2 or 3 years to go ahead and do that encryption because it's such a big deal to go ahead and do that database encryption. You can use database activity monitoring and build a rule that says, hey, if anybody ever runs a select query and gets more than one result at a time, then let's go ahead and generate an alert. Or if any administrator ever runs a select query on that credit card column, let's go ahead and generate an alert and send that off to a security administrator. I think this is great. It gives you separation of duties. It does this in a non-intrusive manner. You're not breaking any business processes that you might need, and it allows you to have much greater insight into how your database is being used. It's really great, too, because it basically meets two different needs. On the compliance side, you can use monitoring and detective controls to keep the auditors happy, because now you can look at all this activity within the database, which you really couldn't necessarily do before with the native auditing in most of the database systems. Then on the other side, we have all the proactive security alerting we can do. So if somebody does something unusual within the system, then we can go ahead and alert off of that. And some of the tools include things like behavioral profiling or even content analysis that will help you get a jump start on setting your rules and putting those processes in place, even if it's a brand new database that you create on your own that no outsider could ever possibly understand. So very, very powerful. Helps you with compliance, helps you with security, does so in a non-intrusive way, and heck, if you want to make it intrusive, some of these tools will actually go ahead and block activity. We're just starting to see people deploy it in that mode. So I really think it's one of the best things you can do. You'll know everything that's going on in there. You'll be able to generate alerts when there's unusual activity, and it's going to make you a lot happier from both a compliance and a security standpoint.
Rich, as we wrap things up now, we've laid out some short-term things that can be done to shore up database security, but can you briefly talk about some long-term security practices or strategies that enterprises should put in place to secure their databases?
Yeah, I'm going to break it out into kind of one idea for more midterm and then something for long-term. And in the midterm, what we're going to be having to focus a lot on is building more processes around securing our databases. Right now, there's a lot of walls between database and security teams, which seems both unnecessary and difficult to manage from a political standpoint at some times, and it's just a reality. And we really need to get those two teams working together. We need to perhaps consider something what I call the security DBA role, which is somebody who is trained in databases and trained extensively in security who can play that kind of oversight security administrative role, but still has the context to understand what goes on within the databases. And then the other thing is to really formalize a lot of our processes around, you know, where do we put our databases, how do we know what's going into our databases, and what's the change management around those systems. So if we look at kind of those midterm things, it's less about technology and it's more about process. I mean, these top five steps I listed today, some of them involve, you know, going across those organizational boundaries and those sorts of things. But when you get down to it, they're all fairly straightforward to implement. But for us to really have comprehensive database security, we need to start putting more processes in place and kind of, you know, taking a more formalized view to how we manage at least our most sensitive systems, if not all of them. Now, in the long term, there's a new emerging field of technology that I think we all need to keep an eye on. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's called, I call it Application and Database Monitoring and Protection, ADMP. And if you imagine the database activity monitoring stuff I talked about before, now imagine that linking up to with the same degree of monitoring at the application level. Now imagine that also potentially linking up with something like a web application firewall and all of those components talking to each other. And now imagine that we're actually able to put filtering and blocking in place so that we can block bad transactions when we think those are occurring within the systems. It's basically anti-exploitation for our databases and applications. It's getting over this view that databases are even different than applications, because really it's just one big system when you get down to it. And I think that that particular technology is going to be very, very interesting moving forward, because now instead of looking at these as individual pieces and components, we can look at it. What's this user? What are they trying to do? From either all the way through the application to the database, do we want to allow that or not? I think that's long-term, really one of the most exciting things we're going to see in the database security area.
Okay, let's recap our list of the top five ways you can lock down your database right now. Number five, perform a user and rule audit. Number four, cut off ad hoc access. Number three, mask sensitive data. Number two, perform a database vulnerability scan. And number one, implement database activity monitoring. Rich Mogul of Securosis, great information today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again for having me.
For more materials in our Data Protection Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/data protection. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. As always, we thank you for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.